Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CPRMetro.org. Today we have on for the sixth time on the Soapbox, Brother Larry Pinkney. Brother Larry was on one of our very first shows in one of Obama's very first weeks of being president back in 2009. And he comes on every year to evaluate the previous year of Barack Obama from his perspective as a former Black Panther and activist. And Brother Larry is associate editor of the Intrepid Report. He is a veteran of the Black Panther Party, and he's a former Minister of Interior of the Republic of New Africa. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Brother Larry Pinkney.
Brother Larry Pinkney, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Thank you so much, Cindy. It is always a very, very special treat being on your show.
Can you believe this is, I believe, your sixth time for coming on? I don't know where the years go. And
yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's been a struggle to keep the soapbox going, but we've managed to keep it going. And I always look forward to our yearly, our annual visit to evaluate the performance, you know, of our supposed employee in the White House, Barack Obama, it happens to be right now. And so we started this on his first year, and every year you come on and we talk about it. This past year of 2013, I think the two major things that happened were Edward Snowden and the revelations of the NDAA, and also the total cluster fudge of the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. And in my opinion, it looks like how we'll talk about those, but how really you spend tens of millions of dollars on a website and this technology isn't new. It almost seems like it was designed to maybe divert our attention from some of the other crimes of the Obama administration this past year. So I'm going to give the floor to you now so you can comment. I know you have a lot to say about these issues.
I do, and thank you so much. As I said, I'd certainly like to reiterate that it's always a delight, my sister, to be on your show. Let me just go right into it. As far as what you had already mentioned about the revelations that were made by Edward Snowden regarding the NSA and NDAA, but particularly the NSA and all of its minions, is something that I think that the year 2013 should be remembered for. Because let's be clear about this. Barack Obama, the resident, I really won't call him the president, I'll call him the resident of the White House, as my cousin
okay.
says. Barack Obama has adamantly and does still adamantly support the absolute egregious violations of the human rights and privacy of not only persons in the United States, but around the world. But since we're right here in the U.S., let's be clear that this man has shown repeatedly, I mean, you mentioned that this is the sixth time that I've been on your show since we do it every year that you have me on, and I thank you for that. But, you know, every time I have the honor of being on your show, Cindy, the situation just gets worse in terms of Barack Obama's, as I call him, drone man, his actions towards the people both internally in this country and, frankly, internationally throughout Mother Earth. So the NSA revelations, or the revelations regarding the NSA by Edward Snowden, are hugely important. The militarization and the surveillance state, if you will, by Barack Obama has really, in my view, has ushered in what I refer to as a 21st century form of fascism. That is to say, the corporate state and the government works together as one entity, and the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, essentially have no real say whatsoever.
Right.
We need to remember that as far as the year 2013. And what you said about specifically what some call Obamacare, I call it Obama Scare.
Yeah, me too. Great minds think alike.
Yes, indeed. Obamacare is absolutely essential that we understand, as everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, just ordinary people, we need to understand that we have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and we are being pimped and bloodsucked. Of course, common sense alone indicates that, first of all, this is not single-payer, okay, healthcare, which is what the vast majority, I believe it was over 70% of the American people, indicated that they wanted before Obama was ever installed. And, of course, he pretended that this is what he had in mind, which, of course, he did not. His buddies in the insurance and pharmaceutical industries, his blood-sucking buddies, had other plans, as did Obama himself, and he's now shown it. So I think that we need to be clear that this is a case, as they would say in The Wizard of Oz, remember that old movie, of paying attention to the man behind the curtain. And the man behind the curtain, if you will, certainly not the people. It's not everyday ordinary people. It's the corporate military surveillance apparatus that really has been ushered in by Obama, who has far surpassed, and I repeat, far surpassed the horrors that his predecessor George W. Bush had initiated. So I'll shut up for now and just follow your lead.
Well, what I find interesting is people who are, you know, I don't like labels anymore because, of course, they don't make any sense. But people who are on our side of the political spectrum who do advocate for single-payer health care and, you know, more revolutionary forms of the way you organize politics or society, many people, when something like this happens, like, for example, I don't buy that, you know, that it was just an accident that the healthcare website was so horrible. They test these things. They, you know, have, it's a government thing, so, you know, it's government. But the thing is it causes people, a lot of people who think like us, to circle their wagons around a horrible policy. And, you know, just Obama, like you said, is just another tool of the corporations and the military-industrial complex. And so we're constantly we are being attacked by those people. You know, if we oppose Obama and Obamacare, then we must be a right-wing racist if we're doing that. So how do you handle that kind of, well, first of all, you never give up. You always just speak truth to power. But, you know, we have to deal with this paradigm on a daily basis.
Right, right. Well, sister, you know, Cindy, I think here it is, here we are, the middle part of January of 2014, right? And by now, I think what has happened and what is definitely happening are more and more everyday ordinary people are beginning at least to smell, if you will, how funky the situation really is. Now, let me be more specific. Economically, politically, socially, the Democrats and Republicans, of course, play the same vicious game. The trap has been, but I believe it's backfiring now. It's certainly beginning to. The trap has been, as you said, well, if you don't support Obama, then you must be a racist or you must be a right-winger. You know, and, you know, first of all, I'm not a bird. I don't have a right wing or a left wing. I'm a human being. And I want to really be clear about that. We have to deal with the common interests of everyday, ordinary people. We're not talking about birds. People, human beings. So, you know, it's my response to that is that when people make that kind of ridiculous comment, that ridiculous assertion, what they are doing, whether they want to admit it or not, is they are helping to facilitate fascism. Fascism, in the sense that Mussolini, who was a fascist dictator, pointed out the combination of the corporations and the government to control the political state, and that is precisely what we have. So, you know, it's not about, well, this person is black or this person is white, brown, red, yellow, so they must be okay. That's the height of lunacy. It's not about a color. It's about consciousness. It's about, or the lack thereof. And it's about the fact that we have to continue to raise the issues. You know, as a veteran of the Black Panther Party, I can say that, you know, and as a former political prisoner for many years, I can say from direct personal experience that this is a long struggle. But it begins with the consciousness of people. Cindy, I remember when you were out there and you were doing a marvelous, and still are, doing a brilliant and marvelous and much-needed job when it came to George W. Bush. But you didn't stop with G.W. Bush. You didn't stop. You carry on. You said right is right and wrong is wrong no matter what. No, and as Malcolm X would say, no matter who says it or does it. And a direct quote from Malcolm. And he was correct. So this is my reply to the Obamatrons and the Democrats and Republicans. By the way, let me throw this in very quickly. And that is, you see, they want to keep us on a plantation. That's right, all of us, black, white, brown, red, yellow folk. They want to keep us on what I call the Democrat, Republican, Republicrat plantation. It's time for us to be rebellious slaves. We need to be rebellious slaves, take back our humanity, and, you know, not only for this nation, but for the people throughout Mother Earth. That's my reply.
And excellent. We did. Another thing that happened that, you know, these Republicrats kind of, I don't know if they don't want to hear it, if they want to ignore it, but while Obama was in South Africa eulogizing Mandela, there was a drone bombing that killed dozens of innocent people in Yemen. In fact, it was a wedding party. And do you have any comments about, because you did call him the drone, you know, droner. So do you, and he has increased the use of these drones. And, you know, my feeling is if it were McCain or Romney, there would have been much greater outcry from, you know, people who would usually ally with the way we think.
There's no doubt about that, Cindy. There's no doubt about that, sister. No doubt about that. You see, and we need to stop, and I'm saying collectively, I'm not necessarily referring, obviously, to you and myself and certain others, but I'm collectively speaking, overall, we need to stop being hypocritical. It's time to be honest, past time. And, you know, again, quoting Malcolm's words, right, Malcolm X's words, right is right, wrong is wrong, no matter who does it who says it, you know, The reality is that Obama, and you're right, I do definitely know that Here's Obama. First of all, over there eulogizing a man who the U.S. government actually deemed to be a terrorist. We're talking about Mandela. Okay, he left that totally out. He dared to go to Robben Island to stand in the quote unquote cell that Mandela had been imprisoned in, but he neglected to mention that he is doing worse, even worse. Look at Guantanamo. Has it been closed? Has it gone away? Of course not. He failed to recognize that even in the context of South Africa and the struggle, the anti-apartheid or apartheid struggle, that the United States referred to not only Mandela, but the entire ANC, the African National Congress, as terrorists. Okay, this is something we need to stop being hypocritical. We need to stop buying into the vomit of the corporate stream media, the propaganda arm for the Obamatrons, and not just the Obamatrons, the Republicrats, be they Democrat or Republican. Again, I say, it is time to get off of the plantation. We need lots of Harriet Tubmans. We need lots of Cindy Sheehans. We need lots of Lynn Stewarts, which, by the way, is a people's victory that we had recently, as far as Lynn is concerned.
I wanted us to talk about that a little bit, too. So, yes, at the end of 2013, in fact, on December 31st, we found out that our sister Lynn Stewart was being released from her, she also was a political prisoner, and that was like the best present that I could have ever received. And anything that happened in 2013 kind of paled into comparison for that people's victory. And I know you also are really good friends with Lynn and Ralph, and I want you to talk a little bit about that, because that I was like crying with tears of joy.
You and millions of people around the world, I was and remain elated. I am deeply angered, however, that she was first of all ever put in prison. She was indeed a political prisoner. Her medical condition is very, very serious. But yes, I did have the opportunity to in fact, Lynn and Ralph called me before she left Texas. She had gotten out of the prison, and they left, I believe, the following day on the 1st of January and arrived at LaGuardia Airport in New York. Yeah. My point being that the president, and this is really what I want to emphasize and re-emphasize, Sandy. You know who gave us that present? We did. We the people, everyday ordinary people around the globe, throughout Mother Earth, said, no, we will not tolerate this. We simply will not tolerate this. And we kept turning the pressure up and up and up. We continued. This, as we said in the party back in the day, this represents all power to the people. This is what we mean. So I was honored and elated to have had the opportunity to serve the Lynn Stewart Defense Committee in the capacity of her international outreach and support coordinator. And I can tell you the emails that I received from people around this nation and indeed around the world, from people in Ireland and Scotland, from people in places such as Scandinavia and Scandinavian countries, from people in South Africa, from people in the islands, the Caribbean islands. I can just go on and on and on, not to mention people throughout this nation. But that's a people's victory. Lynn Stewart and Ralph Poynter have demonstrated, along with everyday ordinary people, what we can do. And it's not easy. You know that. You're out there struggling. People have tried to mock you. People have tried to say, why doesn't she shut up and go away? Well, the more they say that, the more we're doing exactly what needs to be done.
Absolutely. And, Lynn, to me, we corresponded while she was in prison, and as a matter of fact, I just got a note from her a couple days before she was released, and it's amazing to me that I write to so many prisoners now. I never thought that, you know, would be a part of my, what do we want to call it, a ministry maybe? I don't know. But they're all, of course, political prisoners or on death row horribly. But it's so hard to go out and try to find holiday cards for prisoners. What are you going to say? You know, hope you have a wonderful holiday season or something like that. So I just write, my wish for you this year is your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Lynn writes back to me, yeah, it would be nice if I was released, but, you know, I am still striving for a victory in all of our struggles. And,
right.
You know, she just is, you know, a remarkable human being. And I'm glad we have so few victories that this was such a major one that we could celebrate.
And we need to celebrate it. This is what we need to understand. There's a reason for us to celebrate it, and it's not just for the celebration itself. The reason is it emphasizes what can be done, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as you so correctly said, we have so few victories, there are so few and often so far in between, that when we have an obvious people's victory, we need to celebrate it, we need to not let people forget it, because it serves as a reminder of what we can do and what we must do. So when I think about people like Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 or Sundiata Okoli, or I mean the list, whether it's Mumia Abu-Jamal, I mean the list is endless. As Bill Scott Heron would say, it's an endless list that won't be missed once we get rid of that list. So we have an important task ahead, and that task is to collectively, and I say collectively, come together around our common interests. And the victory of Lynn Stewart and Ralph Poynter, but Lynn Stewart's victory is our victory. She belongs to us. She's ours, and
yes,
we belong to her.
Yes, yes, yes. Yay. I would like to end on that positive note, but I really can't, because I'd like to talk about the increasing incidence of killer cops and the lack of accountability. We saw that, unfortunately, over and over and over again in 2013, and it just seems to be getting worse. And as a Black Panther, you know, this is nothing new to you and your experience, but it seems like it's becoming, you know, interestingly enough, it's becoming news because it's not just limited now to, you know, communities of color. It's becoming widespread.
Right. Well, it's endemic. I mean, it's endemic and systemic. And, I mean, you know, they say that manure rolls downhill. I didn't use the S word. I used the M word. That manure rolls downhill, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, it does. When you look at the fact that our so-called leadership, or I call it our misleadership, nationally, what can we expect? They are not held accountable. How,
yeah,
in fact, could this militarized police state be held accountable? In fact, our misleadership on the federal level is responsible for this increasing horror throughout the country of just out-and-out terror. Let's be honest. Want to talk about terrorism? Well, let's talk about the terrorism of the police state, the murders that go on, the beatings, how people are sprayed and who die, when I say sprayed, mace, etc., and who die as a result, not to mention those who are beaten to death or those who are simply shot and killed. We have got to face up to this reality if we are to change this reality. And change it we must. We must. So, again, as incredibly difficult as this struggle or this component of the struggle is, we can do it. We can do it. And the as you mentioned, Cindy, this is no longer put upon merely communities of color. This is across the board. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, red people. Black, white, brown, red, and yellow people are being terrorized in this nation. And with, as you said, key word, no accountability. Well, of course not. We don't even hold, or we haven't even held the federal government accountable for its NSA surveillance, police state, spy state, fascist state. But we will. We will. We must. We've got to link all those issues together from the environment, because this is a part of the environment, but from the environment in a material sense all the way to what I call the bread and butter issues of food, housing, clothing, etc. People say, no justice, okay, no peace. I say the same thing. I say it now in the year 2014, as we said back in the late 60s, all power to the people, and we are the only ones. We are the only ones from the bottom up, not the top down, the bottom up, who will change these deplorable situation.
Absolutely. You know, last year, for 3 months, I rode my bike from California to washed up D.C., that I like to call it. And you know, I rode my bike. I didn't fly over the middle of the country. I went very slowly across this country. And what I'm sensing is people are frightened, but they are also very angry, but they don't know what to do about the situation. And so it's important for us to keep on trying to unite people, because 99% can always defeat 1% if only
That's
we stick together.
That's right. We used to say back in the day, the will of the people is stronger than the man's technology, and it is. It is. I don't care what his technology is. We've been shown that by people all over the world. But as Howard Zinn points out in his wonderful book, A People's History of the United States, I would urge people to go back and read it or reread portions of the book. You want to be inspired? Read that book. See what everyday people have done. And we can do it again. In fact, we must do it again. So, and yes, Cindy, I remember the bike ride. I followed it as closely as I could, and I said, that's my sister. She's doing what she's that's right. My sister's doing what she knows she has to do. So that was fantastic. Fantastic.
I'm running for governor this year, but I'm thinking I would really just like to ride my bike again.
Maybe you can do both.
But our campaign is about all these issues and about uniting people together. I always say, don't support me, support yourself, support your community, support your family, support the state, and support humanity by voting for me.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, you can't send a governor to Sacramento or a president to Washington, D.C. if there's not a movement. And it's not about elections, it's about these movements, and it's about the future.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yes.
It's so wonderful to always talk to you, and I enjoy getting your updates and your articles and your insights. So can you tell my listeners again where they can find your writings and how to get a hold of you?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much, my sister Cindy. Yes, definitely go to Intrepid Report. That's intrepidreport.com. I'm an associate editor with Intrepid Report. You can find a lot of articles there. Also, go to Black Activist WG. That's WG, blackactivistwg.org, and you will find many articles that I have written and am writing, et cetera, et cetera. So please check it out. It stands for Black Activist Writers Guild, but just remember, it's blackactivistwg.org. And Cindy, let me thank you. Let me just not just for being on the program. Thank you for being Cindy. How about that?
That's all I can be, Brother Larry. I don't know how to be anything else. So, again, thank you for being Larry. And thank you again for being on the show, Larry Pinkney. I hope we have a happy, successful new year in the struggle.
Me too. All foul to the people, sis.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's our show for this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were inspired. Obama did have a dismal year, but so have we had a dismal year, and we really need to join together to make that reality different this year in 2014. And I know Brother Larry and I say that every year, but we can't give up, and we can't give up our hope in each other and our hope in revolution. As always, I'd like to thank Don DeBar of CPR Metro, and I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show, and Brother Larry for being our guest again for the sixth time. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.